welcome you to the second day of our seminar on the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. So we will again sing the song to Nrisimhadev, on your prayer sheet, the first one. I think maybe since you're all from Germany, you may know already how from Singhachalam, how they greet the deities. Shri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jaya Jai Nrisimha Dev. Shri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jaya Jai Nrisimha Dev. Prahlade Sajaya Padma Mukha Padma Ringa. All glories to Nrisimhadev, all glories to Nrisimhadev, who is the Lord of Prahlad Maharaj and, like a honeybee, is always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. So we had some homework yesterday, and that was to see how to remember Krishna during the day. There was actually two questions. One was to offer everything, try to do that. Did anybody try that yesterday or today? Yes, I was trying it. Thank you. And if you'd like to share, you can. Otherwise, we will go. Yes?
I'll just try to send another question.
Okay. Oh, okay.
We make once a month, we make the feast.
Good.
We have to go by shopping. We chant Hare Krishna when we go shopping. And then we take our prasadam and we have our chants.
Good. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so let's see, there was another homework question. Which I forgot. Yes.
Can you just say, when he appears, it's very natural actually to do everything for Krishna. It's a flow. You don't have to make an endeavor. It comes.
You don't have to think about it. Okay.
If you're at home, I think it's really nice to always be with you for
Okay. When you're at home, it's more difficult. When you're here, it's easier. Actually, the other question was, how is Krishna calling you? Did anybody hear Krishna calling you yesterday? Yes?
How is Krishna calling
you? Yes, how is he calling you? Did he call you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
When I was searching, I got to have the possibility to have from Prabhupada's three books.
Okay. Oh, at the beginning, Krishna called you to be a devotee.
Yeah. Good. In 17, I went returning to the Schloss of Adesov, and I only had an address. And in the town called Königstein, I was a transporter. Then the super soul showed me the way to the temple.
Good.
This was my first contact with Krishna consciousness.
Wonderful. Anybody hear the call of Krishna? Okay, I'm sure everybody heard. Yes? Would you like to share, or you just want to?
Yes.
Okay.
For example, before I leave the conch shell, uh-huh. It's always a call.
Right? Oh, when the conch shell blows, then it's like calling you. It's like calling you to the temple. Okay. So we will start with our verses, verse 20. You do have this verse. Yesterday we heard about why we should be confident that we can worship Krishna, and also how he pacified the Lord. And we heard about remedies, how the remedies are of this world are worse than the disease. So today there will be two topics, basically, and that is why we should surrender to Krishna, and the second topic will be, why is it better to be servant of the servant of Krishna than to be directly the servant of Krishna? So these will be the two main topics for today. So verse 20, you do have. And we can follow this together. Yasmin yato yahigena chayasya yasmat. Yasmin yato yahigena chayasya yasmat. Yasmai yata yaduta yastva para parova.
Yasmai yata yaduta
yastva para parova. Bhava karoti vikaroti pitak svabhava. Karoti vikaroti pitak svabhava. Sancharitastara kilam bhavata svarupam. Sancharitastara kilam bhavata svarupam. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the moon's material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone, from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, and the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. So this verse is telling us how Krishna is everything. It's taking all the cases of Sanskrit, and it is showing how whatever case you take, it's Krishna. The subject is Krishna because he is doing everything, and the time, yardi, at any time, you should remember Krishna. Krishna is always there. In fact, he is time. And by something, if it is being done by something, it's by Krishna. Yasya means in relationship with someone, it must be in relationship with Krishna. Yasmat, any cause, it is Krishna. If you have something to give, yasmai, give it to Krishna. And in any way, do it for Krishna. Yet, whatever it may be, whatever you have, offer it to Krishna. So everything is Krishna's energy, and therefore, we should surrender to Krishna. And on your prayer sheet, now we have the second prayer. And this is a very interesting prayer because it is telling us how Lord Chaitanya is also the same as Krishna. Everything is related to him. And it takes all the cases of Sanskrit. And I will sing one phrase of this, and you can repeat after me. In the middle of the page, it starts.
Gaurasascharitam mitam mitanidhi.
You have it? No, okay. See this page, what it looks like? It's called prayer. If you don't have it, you can get another copy over there. It says prayer on the top, and I think you don't have it. It's up, you can get one from up there. There's more copies on that table there. You see one that says prayer? Yeah, there. Thank you. So everybody has it? Looks like this. So in the middle, we have some phrases here from this big, huge prayer. And we'll do it phrase by phrase.
Gaurasascharitam mitam mitanidhi.
Now you say.
Gaurasascharitam mitam mitanidhi.
Lord Gaura is a nectar reservoir of divine nectarian pastimes.
Gauram sadeva stute.
Gauram sadeva stute.
I always chant the glories of Gaura.
Gaurena pratitam rahasya bhajanam. Gaurena pratitam rahasya bhajanam.
The most esoteric form of worship, root of the gopis, was preached by Gaura.
Gauraya sarvam tate.
Gauraya sarvam tate.
I offer everything unto Gaura.
Kararasti kripala ratana paro. Kararasti kripala ratana paro.
Other than Gaura, there is no one in this world as merciful.
Gaurasya pritya pavam.
I will become the servant of Lord Gaura.
Gore Gauravam acharami. Gore Gauravam acharami.
I act in reverence centered on Gaura.
Bhagavan Gaura Prabharakshamam. Gaura Prabharakshamam.
Oh, Gaura Prabhu, Supreme Lord, please protect me. So this is a beautiful prayer to by Sri Raghunandana Goswami. So the first point, why we should surrender, is Krishna is everything. We can't avoid him. He's everywhere, and he's everything. And the second, now we're going to hear some reasons, some a bit negative reasons why we should surrender, why, because things are so difficult in this world, why we should surrender. So the first is verse 21, which you do not have, so I will tell you. O Lord, this mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled. Who can get free from this entanglement unless you take shelter of your lotus feet? So the mind is trapping us with so many unlimited desires. So we have our gross body and we have our subtle body inside. And what is this subtle body made of? We know intelligence, mind, but actually it's made of unlimited desires. There's unlimited desires inside us. So this is trapping us in this world. We may want to get out, but then, no, actually, I need this, I need that, I need a new car, I need a nice house. I need so many things, so how can I get out of this world? So the mind is trapping us with our false ego, of course, which is helping a lot, because we have a problem with misidentification in this world, that we are actually spiritual beings, but we think we are material, and we have material things to do. So in this way, our mind traps us. So verse 22. Here we go. You don't have it? No. So I will tell you. You won't have anything till 28, so don't worry about it. You can just listen. 22 says, my Lord, you've created this world, but you are beyond it. This world is under your control, and you're not conquered by this. So the time element is your representation. No one can conquer you, but as for me, I'm being crushed by the wheel of time. Therefore, I surrender. Please take me under the protection of your lotus feet. So here's a reason to surrender, is that we're being crushed by time. Does everyone have this experience, that the time is crushing us? Yes, we all have this experience. Even the small children, they have that experience that they have to study for exams and go to school, and they're being crushed by time, as we are being crushed by time. Especially when you get a little older, you feel it. You really feel it because the body is having different pains. Yes? That's right. When you're older, the time goes faster. When you're younger, the time stretches forever. Yes, very good observation. So this is why you should surrender. That time is crushing us. And verse 23 is also a very similar reason. If you have your chart, you can see, you can follow the verses. 22, crushed by time. 23, let's hear what verse 23 says. My Lord, people in general want to be elevated to higher planets, live long life, enjoy. But I've seen all these through the activities of my father when he was angry and he laughed at the demigods. They were immediately vanquished, seeing the movements of his eyebrows. But my father has now been vanquished by you within a moment. So the problem, I mean, we may say, okay, you know, maybe there's problems in this world, but I'll make it a nice place. The problem is, we can't stay here. And that is against our nature. Our nature is spiritual. We want to live eternally. And we should be living eternally, because that's who we are. We're eternal beings. But unfortunately, we're stuck in this material world where everything can finish in a second. In New Zealand, there was an earthquake, and within 45 seconds, the whole business district was finished, just went down. Nepal, also now, I think 8,000 people were killed, and all the beautiful temples and beautiful monuments were finished within a few seconds. So this is showing us how everything is temporary. And when I visited there, but in New Zealand, I was visiting the earthquake zone, and it was quite interesting how you get the feeling how everything is so temporary. They had these signs for speed limit, like here you see 120 on the, I don't know what you call it, on the freeway, 120, 100, 80, and there it was 30, and under the sign it said temporary, 40, temporary. Because they have to rebuild the whole city, and so everything's temporary. And then the people, they have their addresses on the wall. Shifting to this place, temporary. Everything is, they have realized that. Very, very temporary is this world, especially if you're in the earthquake zone. And I did go through two tremors when I visited there twice. The first time was about 2:30 in the morning. I was awake chanting, and I was in my bed, and there was just this huge bang, like, you can't explain it, but I understood it was an earthquake. And my first thought was, oh, my computer is going to fall on the floor. Should I get my computer? Not a good thing to think of if you're going to die. But fortunately, that was the end of that. And then the second time was 9:30 at night. I was just going to sleep, and the lights were out, and I heard all this loud rumbling. I thought it was the children. They have four children. I thought, oh, they must be making a lot of noise running upstairs. And then the house started to sway back and forth, and I realized, oh, it's not the children. This is an earthquake. So then I went out of my room to see, you know, what happened, and everyone was on the computer, because the game is, in the earthquake zone, they all try to guess, what is the number on the Richter scale? How big is this earthquake? And some were saying 4.6, some were saying 4.7, and yes, they were correct. It was not so big. In Nepal, it was much bigger. But anyway, it just shows us that the world is temporary, and it can finish at any moment. So therefore, the things of this world cannot make us happy, because they're all temporary. We are eternal, so there's always a clash there, and we try to enjoy. Now, verse 24, again, why we should surrender. So we're crushed by time. Everything's finished in a second. Verse 24 tells us more about how we should surrender. And my dear Lord, I've complete experience concerning opulence, power of this world, longevity, pleasures enjoyed by everyone. As powerful time, you destroy them all. So here again, time comes. They're destroyed by time. Because of my experience, I don't want them. Please place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. So here is the remedy again to serve the servant of the servant. He has so much experience of this world. And in case you have no experience, Prabhupada says you should read Bhagavatam, and you'll get experience like Prahlad Maharaj got. You'll get the same experience by seeing the experience of Prahlad Maharaj. So if we want to save ourselves, we need to take shelter of a pure devotee. So we have our Srila Prabhupada. He's here with us, and actually, he is more merciful than Krishna. Krishna is there, he's ready to take us back to Godhead, he's more merciful, actually, Prabhupada. Who can tell me How is Prabhupada more merciful? Yes. He has compassion, okay? Any examples? How is he more merciful than Krishna? Why do we say that? He's more merciful. Yes?
He can directly in front of us speak to us.
Yes, yes. He came right in front of us, he spoke to us. And for those of you who are not here, he sent his disciples to come in front of you and speak to you. Yes?
He shows us the way how to approach Krishna.
Yes, he's showing us how to do it. Yes. Yes, yes. He spread all over the world. Lord Chaitanya was only in India. He started it 500 years ago. Prabhupada risked his life with two heart attacks going on the free boat ride to America. And he spread it all over the world. So he's more merciful because he spread it everywhere. He accepted much more degraded people than Lord Chaitanya. Yes?
And it's also much easier to associate. Everybody can offer a flower.
Yeah.
But to go on the altar.
Very good observation.
Yeah.
Anybody can serve Prabhupada, even if you don't know, if you're not following. You go and give him a flower. But for going on the altar, you need a lot of requirements there, a lot of rules and regulations. I'm sure you're learning in your TT Worship course what it means to go there. Yes?
Requires a process of deity worship before the
right. All right. It's part of the process of deity worship. Okay, so now, it's good we talked about Prabhupada. Now we're going to hear a little bit more why we should surrender before we hear about the pure devotee. Verse 25. In this world, every being desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Now, this is not a desert. So I'm wondering, how many of you have seen a mirage? Anybody here? Okay, one person. In Germany or? Okay, not in Germany. Yes?
Yes.
In Germany.
No.
No. Germany, you don't see mirage, so maybe you don't even know what a mirage looks like. If you're in India, you will definitely see lots in the summer season.
But there is a small, in the summertime on the roads, sometimes you can see a little lake.
Yeah, that's a mirage. In the summer, if it gets hot, you see water on the road in front of you. That's a mirage. See, you didn't know. There's water. And the thing about the water is it keeps moving ahead. So that mirage is compared to happiness in this world. We see it in front of us, but it keeps going forward again and again. You know, we don't really get it. It just keeps moving. So, where is water in the desert? Where is happiness in this world? So happiness is very difficult to get it, but people are running after it very much. So, here is the news of this material world. Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked in Mahabharata, what is the news? And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, the news is that this world is like a gigantic cooking pot. And everybody is being cooked in this pot. Some of us are well done. And some of us are fried completely. That's the news of this material world. And if you read the newspaper, you'll find the same news. Everybody is dying in this world. Everybody's suffering. And so the news is you cannot find happiness here. So that's why we should serve Krishna. So we have the fire, we're being cooked. The fire is compared to the sun. And the fuel of the fire that is cooking us is the days and nights. So every time the day and night passes, we're being cooked more and more in the cooking pot of this world. And who knows who is the cook that is cooking us in this world? Yes?
Krishna.
Krishna. Would Krishna do that to us? I don't think so. Somebody in this world is doing it. Well, actually, yes. In one sense, you're correct. It's a representative of Krishna, yes?
Time.
Time, very good. Time is cooking us. Krishna is busy elsewhere with his lila, but time is his expansion, his representative, and time is cooking us very nicely. And when you get old, you see how nicely you are cooked. So, one more verse. Verse 26 is about why we should surrender, because there's no happiness here, because so many reasons we're being crushed by time. Now, verse 26 is going to tell us a very positive reason why we should surrender. We heard all the negative reasons. We're being cooked, or being crushed, or it's all temporary. Let's hear a positive reason why we should surrender. Oh my Lord, because I was born in a family full of hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Shiva, or Lakshmi? You never put your hand on their heads, but you put it upon mine. So if we surrender, we'll get causeless mercy from Krishna, which even Lord Brahma and Shiva didn't get. So what do we mean when we say causeless mercy? What does it mean, causeless? Yes?
Actually, we have no qualifications.
Very good. Causeless means we have no qualification. Still, we're getting mercy for some reason or other. We're not qualified for it. We don't deserve it, but we're getting it. Yes? Same. Okay, very good. You confirm what she said. Yes, it's causes. It's no cause. There's no cause for it. It's just coming. And the next verse, 27, will explain what determines how much mercy we get. So Prahlad says, unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, favorable and unfavorable. You offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service. Just like a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between lower and higher. So if it's up to us, how receptive we are determines how much mercy we'll get. If we are completely open, we'll get 100% mercy. But some of us may be reluctant to accept 100% mercy. We don't know what it may mean for us, what we have to give up, what we have to do. So therefore, 80%, 75% is enough for us. But mercy is there for everyone. According to our desire, that's how much we get. According to our receptivity, that's how much we get. So what is the secret? How can we get more mercy? Prabhupada says in his purport, if you're engaged 100% in service, then you will get 100% mercy. It's in proportion to your service. And that's our desire. We desire so much, and that's how much Krishna gives us. That's how much we're ready for. So don't try to go beyond your limits, but keep in your limits and pray to Krishna for mercy. Now verse 28 is going to explain the point on being servant of the servant. You do have this verse. We can sing it together. Evam janani patitam ravavahiko pe. Evam janani patitam ravavahiko pe. Kama vikama manuya prapatan prasangat. Kama vikama manuya prapatan prasangat. Kritvatma sasarashina bhagavan krihita. Kritvatma sasarashina bhagavan krihita. Soham katana vishijetava pritya sevam. Soham katana vishijetava pritya sevam. My dear Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? So Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada explained, he's a Shaktyavesha avatar. He's empowered, actually, by the Lord. And he was standing face to face with the Lord. And what did he say? He didn't say, okay, here I am, here we are, you know, what can I do for you, Lord? No. He said, how can I serve your servant Narada Muni? He didn't think, I will serve you now. He said, no, I want to serve my guru. How can I serve my guru, Narada Muni? So, here it talks about how we've fallen into a blind well full of snakes. Who knows? What are these snakes that can bite us in this material world?
Our senses.
Correct. Yes?
Bad qualities.
Yes. So everything's biting, but especially the senses. The senses are biting, our tongue, our eyes, they take us somewhere away from Krishna. Why? You know, we think, okay, especially not if you're in the temple. If you're at home, let me read the newspaper. It's much more interesting than Srimad Bhagavatam. But actually it's not. Because what is the proof that the newspaper is not as interesting? You throw it away after you read it once. But Bhagavatam, Gita, you can read 100 times and you'll find something new in Gita and Bhagavatam. So the point is that it's better to be servant of the servant than to serve the Lord directly. So now I'm going to ask you, why? We heard one reason, the servant is more merciful than Krishna. Any other reasons why it's better to serve the servant, to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve the guru, than to serve Krishna directly? So, who can think of a reason? Devotee's more merciful, and yes, but oh, you, yes, yes.
Gaurahari. Krishna is saying that if we serve him directly, we have half, 50% chance we will please him or not. But Krishna said, if you serve my devotee, then yeah. 100%.
Very good. Krishna says, if you serve me directly, there's 50-50 chance you can please me. If you serve my servant, then 100%. Yes?
And then maybe it gives more pleasure because
yes.
Radharani experienced much more pleasure by serving Krishna than Krishna is getting from.
Okay.
So Radharani even gets more pleasure when she sees others unite with Krishna than uniting herself with Krishna.
Hmm. Very, very nice point. The first time I heard this one. You will get more pleasure if you serve the devotee. And also, not only you will get more pleasure, Krishna will get more pleasure if you serve the devotee. Because Krishna is more pleased if you serve the devotee than if you serve him. That's good. Good point about pleasure. Any other points? Why is it better to serve the servant of Krishna than to serve Krishna directly? And if you don't know, I'll tell you. If you serve the servant, then you're in the parampara system, and you get so much mercy, you get the mercy of each one of the gurus there. And now it's about 35. So everyone is going to give you their mercy if you serve the guru. You'll get all the way to Krishna, so much mercy. So that's another reason why it's better to serve the servant. And another reason is that humility. This will teach you humility, which is very important in spiritual life. And in the next verse, we're going to... Before I tell you the next verse, I'm going to tell you a little story I'll share with you. Because the next verse is going to tell us another reason. I had a friend in Vrindavan. Her name was Nanda. She had a disease called multiple sclerosis. I don't know what you call it in German, but it's a heavy disease. And she came to Vrindavan to die about 25 years ago. It took her 20 years in bed before she left her body in Vrindavan. So she was like 20 years practically in the bed with this disease. And she couldn't follow so nicely, you know, she couldn't chant her around, she couldn't go to the temple. But she was always listening to lectures and trying her best. So just before she left her body, she had a vision of, she was walking with Srila Prabhupada on the path back to Godhead. And on both sides of the path, there were people criticizing her, saying, oh, she's not qualified. She didn't do her practice properly. She didn't do her sadhana. She's a woman. She's this, she's that. And Prabhupada, they were criticizing, saying so many things against her on both sides of the path. She cannot go. How she can go? She didn't do her service nicely. She didn't do any service, actually. She was just lying in the bed. And Prabhupada turned to those people and he said, it's all right. She's with me. So, this devotee went back to Godhead because she was with Srila Prabhupada. Her guru was, I think, Kridananda Maharaj. She wasn't a Prabhupada disciple. She was a disciple of Kridananda Maharaj. And Prabhupada took her. So what this means is that we should always stay with Srila Prabhupada and don't leave him. Always try to follow his instructions. Follow his mood. And he will take us back to Godhead. So that's why it's better to be servant of the servant. It's guaranteed. Prabhupada has guaranteed. If you chant your 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, I mean chanting without offense, there's a catch there, then he said he will take you back to Godhead. So the next verse gives us another reason why it's better to serve a servant. 29, you don't have it. My Lord, you have killed my father and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I will now cut your head from your body. So, but then the Sringadeva appeared and saved Prahlad. So Prahlad says, I think in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So here's another reason why it's better to be servant of the servant, because if a devotee says something, the Lord must make it come true. It has to come true. No matter, Prabhupada said, even if he says something wrong, Krishna has to figure out a way to make it true. So, first of all, there are two devotees mentioned here. Actually, they're not mentioned, but he says there's two cases where in this lila, Krishna made two devotees' words come true. Now, the first one was in relation to killing his father, Hiranyakashipu. So does anybody know who, which devotee's words came true when the Sringadeva appeared and saved and killed the father? Yes?
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma. Brahma had said, he gave benediction to Hiranyakashipu. You will not die in the day or the night. He died in twilight. It wasn't day or night. You will not die in the land, the sea, or the air. He died on the lap of Nrisingadev. You will not die inside or outside. He died on the threshold of the palace. You will not die by any man or animal or demigod. It was half man, half lion. You will not die by any weapon. It was his nails. So he fulfilled all the words of Lord Brahma. And the second devotee is in relationship to the Lord saving, protecting Prahlad. Now, which devotee could that be? Somebody said something in relation to protecting Prahlad, saving Prahlad. Any idea? Which devotee could that be? He promised somebody. Yes?
Maybe Narada Muni.
Narada Muni, very good. He promised Prahlad's mother that Narada will never be killed by anyone. He will be protected. Very good. So Narada and Brahma, he kept their words true when he saved Prahlad and killed his father. So, therefore, the devotee, if he says something, must come true. There's an example when Prabhupada was here, and he also said, you know, if the servant of Krishna says, I'll take you to Krishna Loka, you must go. He said, Krishna cannot do that. He doesn't very easily say, I will take you back to Godhead. So there was one example in India, in Bombay, Juhu. When we first arrived in India in 1972, the conditions were very austere. We were living on the land. There was no, not even a roof. The men were living in a hut, which was the office, the ashram, the kitchen, everything, and the prasad room, all in one hut. The ladies were living up on the roof of the building, and it was summer. So we had no place to live. Very, very austere conditions. So this man, Mr. Setti, he was in construction. And he built rooms for all of us on top of there were some flats in the back of the land. We couldn't get the tenants out because you had to pay them huge amounts of money. So he built rooms for us back there where we had places to stay. So one time he went to see Srila Prabhupada, and he was covered with dust and cement, and you know, but he came to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada told him, just as you are building rooms for my disciples here, Krishna is building rooms for you in Goloka Vrindavan. And so that was the mercy. You serve the devotees, and Krishna is very pleased. And he said to Prabhupada, but Swamiji, I'm a very sinful man. How can I go back to Godhead? You know, he was drinking tea. He couldn't give it up. He never got initiated. Prabhupada said, that I will see. You don't worry. I will see you go back to Godhead. So, the devotee can do that. There's another example in America, 1967-68. There was, I think, the first Rath Yatra festival. Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. Everyone, all the devotees were sitting, and there a lot of hippies had helped, and they were mostly high on drugs, and they were all sitting after the Rath Yatra, and Prabhupada looked at everyone. He said, whoever helped in this festival will go back to Godhead in this life. So the devotees are thinking, oh no, these people, you know, how are they going to go? You know, well, Krishna has to figure it out, how they're going to go back to Godhead. So if a devotee says something, it must come true. That's why we should serve the devotees. So your homework is to do something to please Prabhupada today. Not difficult, especially since you're here in the temple, you can do that. Anybody have some ideas? What can we do today to please Srila Prabhupada? What can we do? Something. I think these girls here are making... Yes, you... Huh?
Preaching,
okay. You're all making garlands. I'm sure that's very pleasing. Anybody else? Yes?
Bring him a flower from the garden.
Bring him a flower to Prabhupada. Yes, there's many... Now it's spring. There won't be any scarcity. You can just go outside and pick some flowers and bring to Prabhupada. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, there's beautiful flowers out there. Yes?
When you have a chance to be afterwards to be back and then you need to go into the night, so...
You do... That's your service?
Yes.
Okay, so you have no problem. It's already covered. You can give him his bead bag and cover him at night. Anything else we can do? Yes?
Try to chant very nicely.
Oh yeah, chant very nicely. That would please him a lot. It would please him a lot. Okay. Yes?
Distribute his books.
Okay.
Study some.
Study his books too. Read them, not just distribute, Prabhupada would say. Read them also. Yeah, anything else you can do to please Prabhupada? Yes?
You can do everything, but you have to make before that the idea, okay, I make it for you, not too high.
Very good. She said that everything can be to please Prabhupada, but before you do it, you think, okay, this is for you, Prabhupada. I'm doing this to make you happy. I'm doing this to please you. Good. The mentality. Very good. That's very important. Very important. Okay, anybody else? So that's your homework for tomorrow? Yes, Gaurahari?
To take care nicely of those who come to see Prabhupada, or the guests.
Okay. To take nice care of the guests and who comes to see Prabhupada. Good. And I'm sure your service is covered there, your homework. Yes, you can do that. And good. So I'm just going to give now a 5-minute summary of the creation, which is here in 7 verses, or maybe even less than 5 minutes. We'll see how long it takes. I'm not going to read the verses, but I'll just say the beginning. The Lord was there. He was alone. And he was seeing, you know, something's missing. My spiritual world is here. We're all enjoying very nicely. But one of my wives, the material energy, she's sleeping. I want to wake her up so she can also enjoy with us. So he glanced at the material energy and she woke up, and not only did she wake up, we all woke up too, because we were also sleeping with her. So there is one feeling the Lord had before the creation, why he created, what was his feeling in his heart, and that feeling was compassion. And that's the purpose of creation, is the compassion of the Lord for us who are sleeping. So he wants to wake us up so we have a chance to go to the spiritual world and enjoy with him, dance with him, eat with him, and have fun with him. That's the purpose of creation. So then the Lord, he appeared in a form called Mahavishnu. I don't think yet. Oh, you don't have a picture here. We don't go back that far in history here, but we go even further, of course, go look at Vrindavan. We don't have a picture of creation here. So he's in this form. He's sleeping. He's sleeping on Sheshanaga, a very cool body of a snake. Sheshanaga. He's sleeping. And so Prabhupada explained that just like the Lord is sleeping on this cool bed of a snake, when we go swimming to the ocean or somewhere, that's where we got that idea. We have these floaties, and we float on the water on the floaty. And we got the idea from Mahavishnu, actually. He is the first one who did that. And so we also have our floaties, and we go in the rivers and the ocean, and we enjoy. Just like he does. Not quite like he does, of course, but that's where we get the idea. And then from his navel comes a lotus flower, and on the lotus is Brahma, the engineer of the creation. And we are all inside that lotus. His seeds are there, our karma is there, the seeds of our bodies are there, everything is there. And the creation happens. And Brahma, he performed austerities so that he was able to create, and then after he performed austerities, he got the vision of the Lord and how the Lord is everywhere. And he understood how to create. So, summary of the creation. And the purpose is to graduate. We all should learn here what is the purpose of life, to get free from all this material problems and to go to the spiritual world. Not just go, but even while we're here, we can be in the spiritual world. We can taste spiritual happiness. So these are the prayers of Prahlada Maharaj up to verse 36. And tomorrow we will finish. And today try to do something to please Srila Prabhupada. So we have time for questions, if there are any questions. Yes, or comments.
Back to this mercy.
Causeless mercy.
I think on the sheet there is, when you surrender to Krishna, you forget this causeless mercy.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, right. Because when you surrender, then you're open for it. If you don't surrender, then, you know, that means you want the mercy of this world. You want to enjoy this world. So how will you get the mercy of Krishna?
Yeah, but
I mean, this world is also mercy, but it's a different kind of mercy. You're getting kicked while you try to enjoy, so then it's a negative mercy. If you're kicked enough, then you will surrender to Krishna. Yeah, surrender means, as we said yesterday, it's we accept Krishna. Yes, I accept you as my friend, as my lover, as my everything, my son. We accept Krishna, and then the mercy will come, relationship will come. And if we don't accept that, then we turn our back away, then we won't get the mercy. And we turn our back from Krishna. Then we get causeless mercy. Yes, there is, we do have to be open for the mercy, then we'll get the causeless mercy. So to be open means we have to surrender our false ego and our action plan for enjoying in this world. Surrender our plans and accept his plan for us to go out of this world and enjoy eternally. Much better plan. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, automatically you go, it's his service, but it's not, automatic means you surrender to your guru first, and you make a commitment, you take vows, so if you don't take those vows, it won't be so automatic. Yeah, he will. If you accept him, if you accept the conditions, four regulative principles, chanting 16 realms. You accept those conditions, then yes, he will push you, he'll pull you, he'll drag you, and automatic. It's not so automatic. Surrender has to be there too. If he asks you to do something, and if you say no, then you won't get the mercy. The mercy is when you follow his instructions. You follow the instructions of the guru, you'll get the mercy. And if you say, no, today I'm too tired, I'm going to sleep instead, then you won't get it. You'll be sleeping. How can you get the mercy if you're just sleeping? Of course, if you sleep in Vrindavan or Mayapur, it's counted, but I don't know about in Germany. In the temple, perhaps. They say when you sleep in Mayapur, it's like offering obeisances. But here, this is it. Of course, it is Goloka Dham. Can be counted if you're inside the temple, perhaps you're within the dham, or out on the land. But better if you'll get the causes mercy if you're awake. If you're awake and you're conscious, as you were saying yourself, you have to be conscious. That, okay, I'm offering this. When you're sleeping, you're not so conscious of what you're doing. Most people, at least, are not so conscious of what they're doing. It's just kind of you're in the movie and it's happening to you and you don't have that much ability to get yourself out or change things. Other questions or comments? Yes?
How do I prioritize the many instructions I got from the guru?
Yes. How do you prioritize the many instructions you get from your guru? You will have to ask your guru that question, and he'll tell you which one's the most important. Only he can say, oh, this is first. This is. If you can't figure it out, then you have to ask. You have to ask him. If you can figure it out, that means you understand your guru. If you can't, then that means he has to tell you.
And in lectures, I heard that he actually stresses on hearing and chanting as the main devotional service. Because
right.
Even if we are engaged in the services physically, sometimes our consciousness might divert, but if we chant and hear, the consciousness is fixed upon Krishna. And Shri Prabhupada said that chanting 16 rounds is the most important of all instructions.
That's right.
Because even if in the beginning some people might not be able to follow everything, but by chanting they will gradually be able to follow.
Very good point.
The regular principles and all other instructions.
So very
without
good.
The holy name, we will not see the teachings, we will not
feel anything, we will not be able to do any service.
So most important, of course, is chanting the holy name, and that will inspire us to do other things. Srila Prabhupada did comment in a letter. Well, actually what he wrote was, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. And if you read my books, you'll be convinced. So the both are helpful. Of course, chanting is the main thing. Some people can't get into the readings, so the chanting is there. The chanting is there for everyone. And it doesn't inspire us, it does purify us. Where would we be? That's what Prabhupada, he also said in the beginning in America, he said to the devotees, you know, it's only because you're chanting Hare Krishna that anything is happening in this movement. Because you took so many drugs before, we were all hippies. You took so many drugs, you're not capable of doing anything. But because you chanted Hare Krishna, now you're doing everything. It's very purifying, very purifying. We could give up, you know, our bad habits and just serve Srila Prabhupada by chanting Hare Krishna. It's a fact. It's a fact. Myself also, when I first got the first books, I couldn't understand. But by chanting, then I was able to understand after a while. You know, what this is about, what this philosophy is, very high philosophy. What is this philosophy? Just by chanting, I could understand a lot more. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
It looks on those prayers, okay, we hear today about why we should surrender to Krishna, but it looks there most of them are negative, like
It's true.
No happiness in the material.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit like a Christian preaching style of if you do this, that happens. And often we hear our philosophy is actually not in this style. We have to feel a little bit about the negative things, but it's much more turned to the positive. But here in the prayer, it looks the negative aspect is much bigger.
It looks that way because Prahlad, he's born in a demon family and he has bad association. So he, in a sense, he's convincing his friends. He has a lot of friends who are not into Krishna consciousness. And so he has to convince them that, you know, it's not going to work. Just see my father. He was the best of all of us. He was the best demon. But it didn't work for him. And, yes. It's not, but then he gets to very positive. There's much more positive than negative if you take all the prayers. If you take all the prayers together, I mean, yesterday was all positive. Oh, the Lord doesn't care about how we look or what we know. And today we just got like 4 or 5 verses that were negative. But yesterday all the verses were positive. So there's like 40 prayers and we've only heard a few, or 30, 40 prayers. And out of 45, 5 were negative. And the rest were positive, pretty positive. Most of them. The thing is that we need to realize our position in this world, or else we won't want to surrender. If we think everything's going really nicely, you know, why should I surrender? You know, but we have to be reminded, everything is not going very nicely. Even if it is, it's temporary. It's going to be finished. And you really can't enjoy happiness in this world. It's mixed with distress. So there, I mean, most devotees were convinced, but some people are not convinced, especially his friends, perhaps his friends' parents. So he's giving the prayers in front of everyone to help them understand. Any other questions or comments? Yes, last one.
Okay, I need a clarification.
Causeless mercy.
This sentence which said, if you surrender, you get the causeless mercy, so it's a contradiction if you do this.
Yeah, that's true. That's a contradiction. So, I shouldn't have written that. But what I meant was that...
As you answered, the way I explained it to myself, now I want to know if is the...
it's what it's supposed to be.
Correct, okay.
This surrender is kind of like opening, because you said causes mercy is everywhere, we just have to take it.
Right.
So now, what I'm thinking of, is this taking active, or is it more like the way you surrender is just, say there's a dam, there's a river, river's naturally flowing, we have a dam,
if you
surrender the dam, the river will flow, so it's just something that needs to be taken away, or not done, like lowered. This is the surrender, opening the dam just so that water can flow.
Yeah.
Or it's more like it is something active that has to be done. That,
oh, I see what you mean.
That endeavor that has to be...
You have to work at it.
Yeah, into a plus or just into a minus. Making things.
I would say it's both. I say you do have to work at it because...
Then it's still a contradiction.
Yeah, if you have to work at it, it's a contradiction. But the thing is, it's not like you have to earn it. It's not a matter of working at it doesn't mean you have to earn it. But it's just like if you're in the dark place, you have to open the windows like that, and the sun will come in automatically. If you're hiding yourself, the sun is shining everywhere equally, like we can see. It's shining everywhere equally. But right now we're not in the sunlight directly. We're inside. You have to go outside. You have to go outside. Yeah, it's like the dam, more like the dam idea. That we're kind of closing ourselves from the mercy. The mercy is everywhere. So if we go outside, we'll be in the sun. So if we open ourselves to, if we accept Krishna, surrender, you can say another word, means accept spiritual life, accept Krishna's presence, and we get causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada said that we can be Krishna conscious in a second, or it may take millions of births. It may take a second, it's only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. So, it can be seen like the dam. But in order for us to accept it, we might have to read the books, we might have to chant Hare Krishna, we might have to do a few things in order for us to convince ourselves to accept it. I mean, if you just accept it, then fine. You're in the spiritual world. You're there. Accept, okay, Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, I'm His servant, no problem. You're there. But if you can't accept that, then you have to work at it. It can be a contradiction, but it's that Krishna is the reservoir of all contradictions as well. So when you worship Krishna, he's faster than the fastest light. He's faster than anything, but his mother caught him. At the same time, his mother could catch him, even though he's escaping the greatest, fastest yogis who travel at the speed of the mind. His mother can catch him. So it's a matter of relationship, actually. And that's something that we can't measure. It's not something we can measure, that we have to make a relationship with Krishna. Relationships, of course, you have to work at them. They're not just going to be automatic. If you neglect your relationship with your husband or your child, then something's going to happen there. And so it's our choice that you chose that relationship. And so then you will get the benefits. So it's our choice to, again, have a relationship with Krishna. We broke it, and now we want to go back with Krishna. We want to have the relationship again. And so it requires us to be open for that. Yes, it can be like the dam. We remove the things that are blocking our relationship, and yes, it will flow. But we may have to work at removing the dam. Actually, that's how you can see it. How you can bring them both together. That's the work, removing the dam. But it's easy if we chant Hare Krishna, the dam is dissolved. It just dissolves. Like that. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
Krishna consciousness is naturally in
that's right. We're naturally Krishna conscious. Right.
But it's not too delicious.
Now it's covered by something else. We have chosen the covering, and we can remove the covering if we so desire. Yes. Yeah, even the demons
mercy,
are getting the mercy.
And everybody is provided for by Krishna.
Right.
But it's not a contradiction, because we also said the degree of our surrender, Krishna reciprocates according to that.
That's right.
So he's merciful to everybody. And
that's right.
The devotee just feels very fortunate to have come in contact. So he said it's called this mercy, because simply to get the opportunity to serve Krishna is
right.
It's already great mercy.
So this is the mood of devotee. That's another way to look at it. How the devotee feels. Oh, this mercy is causeless. Because, I have the chance, I have the opportunity to serve Krishna. But in Prahlad's case, he saw that he got more mercy, actually, than even the great demigods, even than the wife. Oh, he got more mercy than even the Lord's wife. He got more because he's helpless and hopeless and he's surrendering and he's very simple and he's falling down at the Lord's feet. So he got even more mercy. And so he calls it causeless mercy. Anyway, yeah, there's many ways of looking at it. Yes?
You can see how Srila Prabhupada was surrendering. And he didn't.
Right. Prabhupada was unconditionally surrendered to his spiritual master. That's why we followed him. Because we saw he wasn't cheating us. He was doing much more than we were doing, than we could ever hope to do. And he was like in his 70s, we were in our 20s. In the morning walk, I went with him on a morning walk, and he was walking so fast. And he wasn't tired, and I was thinking, okay, now, I was trying to figure it out logically, right? Okay, he's over 70, he's 75, I'm 25. How come I'm tired? And he's not, you know, he's like going, we couldn't keep up with him, basically. And so this is causeless. He was completely open for the causeless mercy. He was beyond our understanding materially. Only way you could understand him was by service and devotion, love. Yeah, so these kind of things, love can be contradictory also. Love is contradictory sometimes. So, yeah, I think we have to stop because we need to take prasadam and go to your next seminar. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you.